I'd love to share a poem with you that Dan Mortimer, one of our members here at the church, wrote. It's called Fixin' To. It's amazing as time marches along how many people sing the old song about how the future surely will be. I'll do something great, just wait and see. It sounds a little like this each day. I'm fixin' to change to a better way. I'm fixin' to walk into church Sunday, talk with the Lord and start to pray. I'm fixin' to read the Bible each day and find the truth, for it is the way. I'm fixin' to exercise, not smoke or drink, improve my sleep, which helps me think. I'm fixin' to tell my husband he's great. Do it today before it's too late. I'm fixin' to stop eating so much. Maybe tomorrow it's time for lunch. But the day will come, the last one you see. You can't wait more, as no more will be. What will you do? What will you think? For what needed done, you merely did wink. The devil loves the tactic delay. You think there's later, but there's only today.
Amen. Good stuff. One of our members wrote that poem, and I thought no better poem, perhaps way to start off a new year than with that one. I'm fixing to. How many of us are fixing to have a good 2017? How many of us are fixing to start exercising more? How many of us are fixing to lose weight? How many of you aren't from Texas and you don't know what fixing to means? It's synonymous with that word gonna. I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that. You know, as we begin 2017, I am glad that you are not just saying you're fixing to make worship a priority in 2017, but you're doing it. And so as we begin the new year, I wanna start a new series entitled Life Matters More When We Honor God. And really, as we think about our greatest desire, why do we make New Year's resolutions? Why do we make resolutions about losing weight and being healthier and having better relationships and having better kids and having a better marriage? Why? Because we want to enjoy life. We want our lives to matter. We want our lives to matter more. But I'll submit to you that our life really only matters most when we honor God. Because God is the one who created us. He spoke the world, brought it into existence, created Adam, created Eve, created all of us. He made us in His image. And if He made us in His image, really, life only has true and genuine meaning when and if we learn to honor our Creator. You know, Augustine years ago said this. Augustine centuries ago said, every man, whatever his condition, desires but one thing, to be happy. Did you get that? Every man, every woman, regardless of their status, regardless of their station in life, desires one thing, to be happy. And you know, our world is not short of claims of things that will make you happy. A new car, a new house, a new this, a new that. We have lots. As a matter of fact, if you go and Google what makes people happy, it's shocking the number of responses that come up. As a matter of fact, there are loads of them. I actually did it here at the church the other day. I Googled, I just went, sat down and Googled, and I said, what makes people happy? 327 million hits. Just FYI, I didn't read them all right? In fact, I didn't even go to some of them because I was afraid I might get fired. But, you know, there are a lot of things that the world sets before us and says, do this, go here, be this, and you'll be happy. But the reality of it is, why are there 327 million? Because the thing the last person wrote didn't make you happy, so somebody else had to write something about making you happy. Somebody else, when reality is this, we all desperately desire to be happy. God desires for us to be happy. Now, the Bible word for being happy is one that we can oftentimes over-spiritualize. It's the word blessed. It's the word blessed. But probably the best and most accurate translation for that word blessed is to be happy. When we look, and here in a few seconds, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to the very first psalm. Psalm 1, the first psalm, the first word of the first psalm is blessed. happy. If you go to the New Testament and you go to the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever walked the face of the earth, in the Sermon on the Mount, the very first word that Jesus used is that same word, blessed, happy. And as we begin a new year, we all want this year to be more blessed or more happy or more exciting than last year. But I'll submit to you, if you choose the wrong path, 2017 won't be any different, won't be any better than 2016 was. And so as we look today, I want to talk to you about truly having happiness. You know, in our fallen condition, in our sinful condition as people, we oftentimes pursue the wrong things that try to make us happy. We look for this or that or something exciting. Oftentimes, that's what draws us away from, our mate, our spouse, our job, our kids, or whatever, our faith. It's because we've developed a sense of the doldrums, and we just want a spark. We want prosperity. We want genuine joy. And so what happens is we separate ourselves from the one thing, God and His Word and His people and His church. We separate ourselves from the one thing that can provide long and lasting and achieving, enduring happiness and fruit in our lives. You know, as I was studying this, I did go to one website and it pointed me to a book, The Pursuit of Happiness. It was done by a man named Dr. David Meyer a little over a decade ago, and he really set out to do some research on what makes people happy. What makes people, let me tell you what, that's a legitimate thing to research, right? What truly makes people happy? It was interesting, in his research, he didn't find specific things that made people happy. However, what he did find were characteristics of happy people. Does that make sense? In other words, there's nothing in this world that you can buy, that you can do, that you can eat, that you can wear, that's going to make you happy. However, there are certain characteristics in our lives that truly are emblematic, they are symbolic, they are synonyms for being happy. As a matter of fact, in his research, he came up with 8 concrete characteristics, 8 concrete characteristics of people who were happy. Let me just give them to you real quickly and tell me if it's not that shocking. As I was reading those, I was going, that's what the Bible says. 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 It's not that shocking that when you put the best research and the best scientist and the best psychologist on the job, that they can, after countless thousands and thousands and thousands of surveys and dollars, they can come to the conclusion that the Bible gave us to begin with, right? That shouldn't shock us anymore that it happens. Let me give you the 8 concrete characteristics that he said are symbolic or they're really characteristics of happy people. Happy people like themselves, created in the image of God. Man, God, happy people have a tendency to like themselves. That's the Bible. Happy people feel a sense of personal control. Happy people live a life that is pretty well disciplined. They're not out of control. Their schedules are out of control. How many of you are happy when you don't feel like you're just drug around from here and there by all of your schedules? Happy people have a sense of personal control. Happy people are optimistic. We're going to talk about that today. Man, God's children are called to live with hope. Well, what did Paul say? The Apostle Paul say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when the believers were asking him, they were concerned about those who had fallen asleep in the faith, those who had died. Paul says, we grieve, but we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Man, happy people are optimistic. They are hopeful. Happy people are extroverted. They have good relationships with others. Happy people have close relationships. Man, what does God's Word say? Man, if you go look in Acts chapter 2 in the New Testament church, after Jesus Christ had started the church and the Spirit came down, people who were saved and they gathered together with relationship, they ate together, they fellowshiped together, they prayed together, it says they encouraged one another, experiencing joy And listen to this, favor with each other and the whole city. Close relationships. Listen to this. I don't know why it's sixth on his list. Probably didn't want to play his hand. Happy people, listen to this, what he said, concrete characteristic of a happy people. Happy people have a strong spiritual foundation. Happy people have a strong spiritual foundation. That shouldn't be that shocking. Man, people of the book, people of faith, people who trust God and walk with God have a tendency to have more joy and have a tendency to have more happiness regardless of the size house they live in or regardless of the income bracket. Happy people tend to live balanced lives. Well, what does Scripture say? Man, just live a life of balance. Live a life of balance. Then number eight, he says, happy people have a tendency to be creative. You don't have to go far in God's Word. In the beginning, God created. Same word. What did David say in his prayer of confession? Lord, create in me a clean heart. That's the beauty of being a new creature or a follower of Jesus Christ. Regardless of what 2016 held for you, 2017 is a brand new day. And God wants to do a fresh work and a new work and give you an optimistic hope, an optimistic joy about what 2017 can be and how it can be better. But I want you to know, if you want 2017 to really matter, you've got to learn to honor God. And it starts with honoring Him spiritually. In other words, living righteously. See, as we go to Psalm 1, and I invite you to turn there, I want to give you just from this psalm, this short psalm. It's not a long psalm. It's got six verses in it. I'm going to give you five quick thoughts that will help you as you launch off into the new year. Five quick thoughts, five keys to being a spiritually healthy people, to living a righteous life, if you want to put it that way. And I want you to see the first word that he uses in the psalm is that word blessed. Best translation is happy. Happy people. Now notice what he says. Spiritually healthy people, number one. If you want to have a life this year, 2017, that honors God, you have to honor God spiritually. And spiritually healthy people begin with watching the company that they keep. They are careful who they plant their roots with. They are careful who they spend all of their time with. Notice what he says, spiritually healthy people. It begins with the company you keep. Verse 1, he says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, nor stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So, the first thing we need to understand as we journey into 2017, if you are going to live righteously, if you're going to live a life that honors God, that pleases God, it starts with this. You have to watch the company you keep. You can't spend all your time with those who walk the wrong way. You can't walk in step with the wicked. You can't stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of the mockers. He says, in other words, avoid all the dimensions of their lives. There are some, as I did research over the last couple of weeks on this passage, it seems like that theologians fall into one of two camps. When they're looking at this passage, some of them see this as a progressive nature, a downward nature. Boy, you don't want to sit, you don't want to stand, you want to walk. And he says there's a downward nature. There are others who probably, I lean this way, I think he's just describing all dimensions of life with the wicked. Now, we certainly understand as God's children that our call is to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with everybody we come into contact with. And we always use that phrase, that terminology, but for the grace of God, there go I. So listen, I want you to hear me. He's not saying don't be a witness. See, it's one thing to verbalize our witness and invite someone to church and invite someone to faith and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that anyone and everyone can be saved. It's one thing to share that gospel. He says, but be careful. Be careful that you don't plant your life side by side with the wicked. I think probably one of the greatest seasons, and I was confronted with it again this week, that it's not that uncommon for kids when they journey off out of the church youth ministry into college life, that they immediately, almost immediately begin to question their faith. They begin to wonder what's true and what's not true. They question kind of some of the moral absolutes that they grow up with. Well, why is that? I think part of the reason of that is they go off to college and they get planted near those who don't have the same spiritual values and moral values. And what happens is they get planted. They end up talking with people and walking with people and sitting with people that don't have the same spiritual core values. And it hurts. But notice what he says. Blessed, that word blessed. He says, if you want to be blessed in 2017, he says, don't do these things. Avoid their advice. Man, if someone is ungodly and unrighteous, man, and you happen to share, man, my marriage is struggling a little bit, don't be too shocked if they say, well, get out. Man, don't pay attention to the ungodly's advice. Don't live their lifestyle. Don't hang out in their company. What did Jesus say instead in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6? Put it up on the screen. Jesus said, blessed. That's the same word. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I want you to know, as you journey into 2017, if you are longing for happiness and joy and blessings, you are not going to find it long-term with your next purchase. Can I just say that? You're not going to find it long-term with your next job. You can only find it long-term by hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Jesus said, if you want to be happy, that's what you got to hunger for. That's what you got to thirst for. Don't eat what the world is serving. Boy, I love the next thought. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27 says, whoever seeks good finds favor, but evil comes to the one who searches for it. Here, you might want to just write this down. Here's an irrefutable reality of 2017. Irrefutable reality of 2017. You will probably find what you're looking for. You will probably find what you're looking for. If you're looking for a closer relationship with God and His church and His people and a stronger spiritual relationship, and you're willing to commit to the discipline that is required for you to walk and faithfully follow God, you will probably find it. And the results are great. If you want to pursue unrighteousness and wickedness, you're going to find it. You're going to find it. That's just an irrefutable reality. At the end of 2017, you will have probably found exactly what you were looking for and were willing to commit to. Why not choose happiness? I love what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said this. He says, those who are beloved of God should be the most happy and joyful people to be found anywhere upon the face of the earth. That great preacher of yesterday, what did he say? Those who understand they're beloved of God, we ought to be the happiest and most joyful people in all the world, even in the midst of difficult times, because there's hard times that come our way. What does that mean? That means godly people, good people, righteous people struggle. They lose their jobs. They get sick. Man, their cars break down. Yesterday, I've kept a track of some folks in our church, regardless of how good the economy is right now. We've got some people in our church that are out of jobs. Some guys in our church are out of jobs. And I was driving around a little bit yesterday, and so I wanted to pick up the phone, just started calling a couple of them. And I said, man, tell me new year, new search. And kind of as I was talking to them at the end of December, they all kind of gave me the same phrase, which is basically, you know, nothing's happening between now and the end of the year, right? Well, now it's January. I just want to let them know their pastor was praying for them, encourage them. Here's a common theme with both of them. And it could be beyond and more. One is they didn't think they were going to be out of work as long as they were. And two is they still believe God has something great in store. See, that's a joy. That's a happiness. That one, they thought when they lost their job, they'd be able to find a job immediately. Two, because of the way they live their life and trust God and the people they're surrounded with, they're okay with where they are. Let me tell you what, that's joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. So it starts, number one, if you want to be righteous and have a blessed 2017, be careful of the company that you keep. Here's the second thing that we see. Spiritually healthy people soak up God's Word. Spiritually healthy people soak up God's Word. We see it right there in verse 2. He says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on this law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water. Spiritually healthy people soak up God's Word. Man, here's the imagery. He says, if you're going to grow spiritually, and if I'm going to grow spiritually this year, I have to choose well where I plant my life. If I choose to plant my life near the wicked, near the ungodly, near the bad things, then I'm going to soak that up. On the other side, he says, if you really want to be blessed, you will learn to soak up God's Word. Now, here's the analogy. A tree planted by the streams of living water. It doesn't take us long to extrapolate in our mind to paint a beautiful picture of a stream that is flowing with fresh water, a tree that has grown strong over the years, right, that has drawn up the water from the streams. But here's the thought. Here's the reality. If we want to grow in our faith, we've got to be like that tree. We've got to be planted near streams of living water. What are the streams of living water? God's Word, God's law that we what? He says, meditate on it day and night. Now let's follow it a little further. If I'm going to be that tree, I have to consistently and constantly be planted near the streams of water. Where is that? Well, certainly in the morning. I could wake up and I could read a morning devotional. I could follow a blog that the pastor does or the inspirational thought of day. I can go online and get a Bible reading plan. What is that constantly doing? Allowing me day and night to soak up streams of the living water. What else do I need to do? Man, don't separate myself from God's people. Don't separate myself from God's people. Constantly and consistently be connected with God's people in worship. Listen to the preaching and teaching of God's Word so I can soak up a little. When I have to be gone and we live in a crazy environment, man, just make a decision with you or your family that if I can't be here personally, like so many are joining us right now, I'm going to watch online. I'm constantly looking to soak up the streams of living water. The reverse of that is also true. If you don't want to bear fruit, then don't plant your life next to the streams of living water. Let me ask you a question. When you look back over your 2017, did you spend more time planted near a stream or away from a stream? Near a stream, away from a stream. If you look back over your life, how many days did you spend, invest in reading some of God's Word as opposed to not? How many Sundays were you in God's house or at least online worshiping somehow, some way with your family as opposed to not? If the not is way more than the did, don't be shocked if there's not much fruit. From time to time, we'll see, and you'll see, you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden one of these trucks carrying a big, massive tree is driving down the road, and it's being transplanted. You know it was growing one place, and they're taking it to a new place. I think that's one of the discouraging things of being a pastor. There are times that I know of some people who have grown so much in their faith and produced so much fruit, but for some reason They're letting the worries of the world and the things of the world take them up, rip them up, take them and plant them out in the desert somewhere. And for a while, guess what? That tree, now I'm not talking about the trees that when I buy a new house, the ones that I buy, the big oak that's about this big around. I'm talking about some of those big trees. You take the best looking, most massive, impressive oak. You go plant it out in the middle of West Texas in the desert. It'll die. It'll die. And so my encouragement to you is whether you're that little one-inch oak I can afford to put in my house, whether you're massively strong, you are never beyond needing one thing. To be planted next to the streams of God's Word. And worship and daily devotion and Bible reading and being surrounded by God's people. Look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 37. Look at it. He says, take delight in the Lord. Where should we take delight? Take delight. In other words, soak up. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Man, take delight in your Lord, and He will give the desires of your heart. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 20. It says, he who gives attention to the Word will find good. Man, there it is. If you give attention to God's Word, here is a guarantee. You will find good. And blessed is he who trusts in God. Blessed is he who trusts in God. If you want to have a blessed 2017, do it by honoring God. Here's the next thing. You ready for the third point? Spiritually healthy people produce fruit. Spiritually healthy people produce fruit. That is another irrefutable law. Spiritual healthy people produce fruit. Look at what it says in verse 3. It says that person is like a tree that is planted next to streams of water. I just shared that with you. But here, notice what it says, which yields its fruit in season. Guess what that means? You can be planted by a stream and still there would be seasons in your life where there's no fruit. If you're like me, in the house that we now in, we just lost all of our trees, all of our leaves on our tree. How many of you did that? Now, then you're faced with that decision when all the trees fall off of your tree, when all the leaves fall off of your trees and they blow into your neighbor's yard. Do I leave them or do I go get them? I'll tell you what your pastor did. He left them. Just encourage him to blow them through the next yard. But what am I going to do? I am waiting for in the next couple of months when I'm going to look out on those raggedy old branches that I see now and I'm going to see little buds because I know I water. And they're firmly planted. For the next couple of months, those trees aren't going to look that good. But here's what I know. While the leaves are gone, the roots are growing. They're still soaking up. And so if you sense your 2016 was a leaf and fruit-free year, start soaking up God's Word. And so I love that idea is that it produced fruit. Man, that person is like a tree that is planted near streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 15. Notice what Jesus said. He said, remain in me, abide in me, be planted in me, as I also remain in you. Why? Because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Child of God, as you've clearly made a decision just by looking in this service and the next, you've made a decision to kick off the new year right. Stay true to that decision. Stay true to that commitment. Remain in Christ as He remains in you, and that's how you will bear much fruit. But no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine, neither can you bear fruit if you don't remain in me. Man, if you want fruit in 2017, you have to be that tree that is planted by the streams of living water, God's Word, God's church, faithful devotion, God's people, life groups, either at home or here on campus, whatever it is, to sense God's Word. You ready for this? And this is a reality of where we live. Spiritually healthy people weather the storms. Spiritually healthy people weather the storms. As long as we live in a sinful, difficult, harsh world, we will have to weather storms. Notice what the psalmist says. He said, that person is like a tree planted in storms of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Look at verse 4. Not so with the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Now, notice the contrast between verse 3 and verse 4. The righteous man, planted by the streams of water, produces fruit. The wicked man is like the chaff that is blown away. Now, you and I, we're not agrarians. Most of us here in this culture, in this area, we're not agrarians. We might have a ranch somewhere, but we're not growing our food. We're not on the threshing floor. How many of you have been on the threshing floor lately? Yeah, not many of us. Basically, what they do is they go in, they plant, whether it's corn or wheat or whatever it is, they bring in all the stalks or all the ears of the corn or all the stalks of the wheat, and they take them and they throw them all in this threshing floor, this hard, solid stone floor usually, and they take all the wheat, and then they take these sticks, these wooden sticks, this is in the olden days, and they just begin to beat the wheat. Boy, the heads of the wheat, you have the stalk, you have the leaves, then you have the heads. And they beat the heads of the wheat. They stomp it. They bang it. Many times they'll walk around on it. And what happens, they're shaking the kernel off of the stalk. And then they shake. Then they take the stalks and the leaves and they throw those away. And then you have all of this chaff, which is the bad stuff. And you have the kernels of wheat that is the good stuff. And you say, how do you separate it? Do you sit down and do you just pull one out after the other? And you kind of divide them out. And, you know, and you're going, man, how unfortunate. Instead, they found a better way. After they've threshed both the good stuff and the bad stuff, then they scooped it up in biblical days. Scoop it up. And they still even do this in certain places today. And they just toss it up in the air. And a gentle breeze, it doesn't take much, a gentle breeze will push away the chaff. Why? Because chaff is without substance, it's without weight, and it's without nutrients. And so here's the point. Those who live wicked lives may have, from a world's perspective, stuff that we don't have, but at the end of the day, what they have doesn't have weight, doesn't have sustenance, and doesn't have any nutrients at all. And it will just be blown away. But it says the righteous are not so. Because as the wind blows over the righteous wheat, it falls right back down into place. Now, I want to remind you of a couple of things here. First of all, both the good seed and the chaff both go into the threshing floor. Both get beat. That's this world, right? Remember what Jesus said? I talked to you about the first word of His Sermon on the Mount, blessed. Remember the last illustration Jesus tells us? In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, the wise man builds his house upon the rock. It says, the rains come, the wind blows, and the floods came. But because his house was built on a rock, what? The house stood. The fool built his house upon the sand. The same rains came, the same winds blew, and the same floods came, yet the house fell, right? Guess what? The wise man and the fool experience the same hardships and difficulties in life. One stands, one falls. Right here, he says, listen, both the righteous and the unrighteous go to the threshing floor of this world. Man, we're all going to experience, as God's children, righteous and unrighteous, experience job loss. We get sick. We lose loved ones. Relationships get broken. Man, we struggle, right? But what we need to understand, he says, is the result of living a righteous life is that we would produce fruit anyway. Now, I want to remind you of the analogy and make sure you catch it. A lot of times people think, I live a righteous life. I go to church, I do this, I do that, and God rewards me because I'm good. I want you to know, strike that from your mindset. What he's talking about here in Psalm 1 is not a reward, it's a result. That may not sound like a reward. If I look at you and you perform well and I come give you a trophy, that is a reward. However, the result of you practicing and playing hard is that you won the game. There is a difference, right? There's a difference between a reward and a result. The result of being a righteous person, determining today to honor God, to plant myself next to the streams of living water, I will gain in God's word and God's strength, and I will begin to grow. I will begin to produce fruit. That's a result. What is the result of a tree being planted next to the streams of living water? The result is fruit, right? That tree grows up and bursts new fruit and new leaves. That's the result. It's not a reward. It's not that God comes along and tapes leaves on you. The result of being firmly planted is that you would produce fruit. Might take a time, and we go through seasons, but it will happen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Notice what Jeremiah the prophet said. He says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Happy is the one who trusts in the Lord. Why? Why would we be happy when we trust in the Lord? When the world falls apart, when our world falls apart, we can trust in God, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree, what? Planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. You know, that kind of tree is only that kind of tree because of the result of staying planted near the streams of living water. Here's number 5, and you see it in verse 5 and 6. Spiritually healthy people live with hope. Spiritually healthy people live with hope. We see it right there in verse 5 and 6. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. In other words, there are two destinies. Those who are unrighteous, their works will not stand up. It will be like chaff. It will have no weight, and it will be blown away. For those who are righteous, it will have weight. Every decision, every work they do will have weight. It will matter. And it will produce blessing. But far beyond that, certainly you understand our works, but there's an issue of destiny. Where will you spend eternity? Where will I spend eternity? Because there is coming a day when I will have my last new year. Where will I spend eternity? Will I spend it with the righteous or the unrighteous? The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says, we need to ask ourselves the question. He says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? As we journey into 2017, my prayer is that we as a congregation of people, but also as a gathering of individuals, would make a commitment to live righteous lives. that as a church, as a congregation, as a people, we would stay firmly planted near the streams of God's Word. That is my prayer. But my prayer is also this. Before we even get to that, if there's one person here that's never had the opportunity, never trusted Christ as Savior and Lord, that this would be the day. That this would be the day. That if you look and you examine yourself, that word examine is a forensic term. It means to honestly examine yourself and find out, am I in the faith or not? In other words, your DNA, do you have a spiritual Christ-like DNA? Has there ever come to a place where you've stopped trusting yourself to go to heaven and you start trusting in Christ and Him alone? And that is the first thing we need to settle this year. Let's pray. Father God, as we begin this year with being reminded of what it means to be righteous and live spiritually healthy lives, I pray, God, that if there's some folks that are here today, and I'm sure there are, that if they reflect back over 2016 and they acknowledge honestly that they spent a lot of time in the company of the wicked, planted far, far away from the streams of living water, and they missed out on the blessed result of living a righteous life. My prayer is that this would be the day that they would make the decision to stay connected to faith, stay connected to God's people, and stay planted near the streams of living water. Father, if there's one person here, two people, that upon honest self-examination, they're not in the faith, that they would settle that. That they would settle that before they leave this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Boys, we begin this series today. Life matters more when we honor God. Make a determination today to honor God by being spiritually healthy in 2017.